Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, you know what? We should probably switch that around, and joining Ryan, as always, is Jocelyn.
I know, back. It's been literally like a month. I was actually talking to Joel about it, and I'm like, I haven't been on Gamers Inn other than calling into the call-in special when I wasn't supposed to be on Gamers Inn. I haven't been on since like June, and not even like the last possible day of June, because we went on holiday, my parents came, my best friend came. Like, I have just been in the land of crazy visitors, I guess, and vacations, and just, I mean, summer has been crazy. I turned 30. What the fuck? I know.
I didn't know. and
that deserved an F-bomb because, you know, it was a big birthday.
Wow. Well, you know, those people are just trying to keep you down, but really, really what you have to do is you gotta be on the Gamers Inn.
It's true. Yeah. So yeah, I'm back. I'm super stoked. I've played a lot of Hearthstone.
There you go.
I'm even wearing my Angry Chicken t-shirt, so, I mean, I promise this won't be, like, mini Angry Chicken, because that's another show that I haven't done in literally weeks. But I promise, this will not be a mini Angry Chicken. This will be the Gamers Inn, but I have played a lot of Hearthstone. Have you played some Hearthstone, Ryan?
I did. I was out of town the day after Nax hit, and I brought the iPad, and I played on the iPad in the hotel room.
So good on the iPad, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, like, the way to play, because the problem with the PC version, for me at least, is that I find waiting for even the computer is brutal for me. I don't know. It just takes so long in my mind. It's like, why aren't you making your move, like, instantaneously? Because I'm like, boom, 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 go, okay. You know, I'm like that weird chess dude in those movies that goes, and then it's like, waits there.
I totally do the same thing. Like, I am sitting there the entire time my opponent is doing their turn, and it doesn't even matter what card is going to come out of my draw, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. And then I'm like, that is the best plan of all the best plans, and no one in the history of life has had a better plan than me right now. And then so something comes up, and then I'm just like, bam, 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 end turn. Suck it.
Yeah. And I think when I played, when it first came out, even when Nax first came out, it was slow. Like, the servers were a little bogged down.
I found that it was going crazy
slow, and I was, like, pulling my hair out. But on the iPad, I can have it, like, on my desk while I'm doing work or playing another game or whatever, and I can just be like, there's my move, okay, I'm going to go back to my work. And, yeah, that worked out, but I quickly found that I was surprised how tough Nax was, like, the bosses.
I found, in terms of actual difficulty, I went through the first three normal bosses, no problem. The Druid challenge I did again first time. The Rogue challenge took me 2 tries because I never play Rogue, so I was just like, I don't know what cards are in my deck, and I don't know how to play Rogue, so it's like, I'm kind of screwed right now. And so that took me 2 tries, and then I tried Heroic. Oh my god! It's so hard! It's not. There is no comparison between normal Nax and Heroic Nax. It's like, you know, beginner, and, like, you better have been playing since beta, because if you don't know every card inside and out, you don't even have a chance to build a deck to beat these guys.
And that's the issue, right? Because I am not a hardcore Hearthstone player. I sort of just boot it up and have fun. Like, every time the ladder resets, I'll go in and, like, play a couple rounds. Like, that was fun.
Just to get up to where your card back is?
No, I've never actually earned a card back. What is it, like, you have to be ranked 20?
20, yeah! You can't even lose stars at that rank. How are you not, that you have to win, like, maybe 10 games in a month?
I don't commit. Like, I get in there, and I win a couple, and then I get easily frustrated with the game, because people are just better than me. Chat room's going nuts.
Yeah.
I'm not good at Hearthstone. No. Like, I couldn't even beat the third boss. Actually, no, I haven't tried the third boss, but the second boss, I killed her with, like, a basic hunter deck. And I got really lucky, I think. Sometimes when I win, I just feel like I'm really lucky. I don't think it's skill at all.
Yeah, it took me, I don't even know how many times, to beat Anubricon, which I know how to say now, because every single time you go in, he's like, oh yeah, that dude versus Anubricon! And like the announcer, the innkeeper, sounds so stoked for these bosses. And then he's just like, when he says your name, he's like, oh yeah, Rexxar, you know, Gul'dan, whatever, you know. Malfurion, that guy over in the corner. No one pay much attention because the boss is here! And you're just like, what? So I beat Anubricon after literally probably 30 tries. Like, it took me a long time to get through that heroic. Fairlina, I beat after one try. Like, first try, down. Heroic, done.
Good.
But then, the last boss, like... destroying me. I even built a deck that is literally just spells, because for zero mana she puts two random minions that are on the board back into your hand. It's so annoying. I even tried Murloc Warlock against her. That's how far I've fallen, Ryan.
I assume that's bad.
It still didn't work. I could not get enough minions out there to continually deal with the minions, because she starts with two minions on the board. And I'm just like, cheating.
Is that what heroic is? Like,
yeah, that's... Well, no, just that specific boss. That, you know, like, they... have 45 health, they have a new hero power, which usually is just the same hero power they had last time, but buffed somehow. So in this case, it's like, in the normal version, she can return one random minion to your hand for, like, one mana. In this one, it costs zero mana, and she can return two minions to your hand. It's ridiculous. It's like, she does it at the start of every turn, even when you have no minions, because she's just like, this doesn't even cost me any mana. Hero power, boom. Like, what?
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now in the chat and in the discussion, and it's all kind of like, I really don't really know what's happening, but I'm trying to understand, because I want to enjoy the single player content that they're putting out, because that's what I dig with these games, like with like StarCraft, I'll always go for the single player, and the multiplayer just sort of is like there to enjoy from time to time. So with Hearthstone. You mentioned the challenges, the class challenges. That unlocks after, I assume, you beat all three bosses, right?
Yeah, you have to beat the three normal bosses in order to unlock the class challenges. And then by completing the class challenge, basically there's a pre-built deck. And so you take your pre-built deck and you have to beat a boss. Not all three. It picks one of the three bosses that you have to beat with that specific deck. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you unlock the class card for, you know, like... I think I mentioned earlier, there's a druid and a rogue right now. So every time a new wing opens, you'll get a new class challenge, and then that'll unlock the cards for that class when you beat it.
Oh, okay, because you're not buying cards, you're buying...
No, you're buying access to a wing.
And, okay, so because that's the next question I was going to ask is, like, what do you get for beating these things? Like, it's not just to get gold, it's to actually earn cards, right?
Right, so when you beat a boss, you earn a new card, and you get two copies of the card. So it's the same as when you hit a certain level with a hero when you're just leveling up your normal heroes. Mm-hmm. So you end up with two copies of a card, you get one card per boss, and then you get a legendary for finishing the wing. So in this case... I don't actually think I want to spoil it. I'm sure everyone's seen it, and anyone who follows me on Twitter saw me tweet out when I beat the three bosses and got my legendary card. But if you haven't beat it already, I don't want to spoil it. So there is a legendary card for finishing all three bosses on normal. And then you unlock your class cards on by doing the challenges. And then heroic mode, there's a card back if you beat all of the bosses on heroic in all five wings. So a lot of people were tweeting me and saying, oh, I beat my heroic bosses, but I don't have my card back. It's like, no, you did that this week. There's four more weeks to come, four more wings of bosses. You have to go and beat all of those heroic bosses over all of the weeks, and then you'll get the super cool card back, which you can actually see them. The normal bosses play with the Naxx card back, which is what you get for hitting level 20 in the month of July. And then there's the heroic bosses play with the heroic card back that you get for, like I said, beating all the heroic bosses, so.
Okay. That's good. All right. So do you earn gold for doing anything in Naxx, or do you have to earn the gold outside of Naxx?
You have to earn it outside, so daily quests or arena.
All right, so that's what I've been trying to do, is, like, I've been jumping back and forth because I feel like I can't beat the bosses. So that's my next question, is, like, for someone like me and others, not necessarily the people in the chat room, because they all appear to be avid Hearthstone players.
They are.
Which is great. I think that's awesome. But for those who aren't and are interested, like, ooh, next, I'm going to check out Hearthstone finally. And I know people that are casually into Hearthstone. Ashley's little sister actually was like, have you ever heard of this Hearthstone Warcraft thing? And I'm like, yeah, I have. It's actually on my iPad. And I logged in on my iPad for the first time in a while. And I'm like, why do I only have 100 gold and nothing's unlocked? It's like, oh, she logged into her account. And then I deleted all her gold and then I logged out. But anyway, no, I didn't do that. You can't.
I was gonna say, I don't think you can delete gold.
But she doesn't know that.
Just give her back the iPad with her not signed in, and you're like, I deleted all your gold and your account, sucker. And she just, like, cries, and you're like, she doesn't know enough to get it back.
Yeah, so, okay, the explode in chat room's answering my question before I ask it, and that was, like, what do people like me, what do people who see that Nax is out there and want to join in but haven't been playing avidly for the last 6 months, and you're saying go to Hearthhead and look at custom decks.
So, yeah, you can build your own decks in Hearthstone, and it does mm-hmm. take a lot of tweaking, and they say that in, like, the tooltips on the load screen for when you're going into Nax, basically, like, don't get frustrated by the bosses, they're meant to be hard. What we're trying to teach you is basically building custom decks, which is kind of cool, because in the tutorial, when you first go into Hearthstone, they don't actually tell you how to make a deck. Or, you know, like, tips for making things and what you should be looking for and what kind of skills you might need. But what I did notice about even the heroic bosses is they tend to follow a pattern. They only have, like, 3 or 4 different kinds of minions. So it's not like they're throwing all kinds of different craziness at your face. It's just like, you know, like, the final heroic boss has the spiders that, the 1-2 spiders that turn into 2-1-1 spiders, and then right. the stone skin gargoyle, I think, that always heals himself back up to full health at the start of every turn, and the big taunty guy that is, I think, a 3-5. When you kill him, he spawns another 1-2. So, you know, like, you have, once you get into the role of the boss and kind of figure out what its strategy is, you can build a deck to counter that specific deck, and they don't really deviate very much. Like, I mean, I say that, but then I know, like, one boss has, like, a sea giant, and you're just like, one boss has a mage card. That's cheating. He literally played it, and I was like, what, mage card? But he had, like, a mage card, a warlock card, and a something else card, and I was like, ugh. Mage cards are cheating in Ubercon. We're not friends anymore.
Wait, okay, an Ubercon is the spider?
No, the spider is Maxna, Maxna, Myaxna, something like that. I've only gone up against him a couple times, or her a couple times, so I don't know how to say it. It's an Ubercon that I had to play over and over and over and over again. So that one I know how to say. But,
Right. How do you check if a spider is a boy or a girl? Like, do you just look
Well, I'm pretty sure it's she's the spider queen, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Myaxna. Thank you.
Myaxna.
Myaxna. Like, my
Your
ex.
No.
Nah.
Got it.
No wonder I hate it so much. It's like my ex.
I think we just summoned the undead or something, probably.
My evil ex, the chat room is saying. We're all on the same page.
It's my ex, no. Interesting. Well, Hearthstone, right? I'm going to keep playing. And the next wing opens next Tuesday?
Yeah, so it's going to be, like, once a Tuesday. You're going to get more. Right. And I was going to say 3 more bosses, but I don't know if every wing is 3 bosses. It's based off of the Nax dungeon in Warcraft. So I think that there are multiple different numbers of bosses. Like, there's no standard number. I think some wings have 3, some have 4. The last Frostworm one might have the 4 horsemen plus Kalthazad. I don't know. I didn't actually do the, sorry, not the dungeon, the raid in Warcraft, because it's a Lich King raid, and I've poked around trying to get achievements, but, you know, it's really hard when you're all by yourself. Raids are meant for 25 people, so.
Interesting. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and that's 900 gold, right? So I better start.
700.
Oh, it's only 700? Oh,
yeah, so, and this is the other thing that I think Blizzard really hit the nail on the head with, is that instead of, you know, making it all gold or all money, they have literally, like, combo packs. So sure. If you play during the first month, well, it's not officially the first month of release, but basically they're saying within the launch window of Nax, the first wing is free. So anyone playing this week obviously got the first wing for free. Sure. Then you can have the first wing free, and then four other wings cost you $20, which is what I did. Mm-hmm. And then you've unlocked all of Nax. Or if you have, like, 700 gold, you can get the first wing free, combine it with 700 gold for the second wing, and then pay, like, $15 to unlock the other three. So there's, like, combinations of gold and money all the way through. If you want to buy the whole thing with money, you can. If you want to buy the whole thing with gold, you can. Or you can do any combination thereof. And it's just like, oh, they're not pigeonholing me or forcing me into anything here. And it's so good when you look at the free-to-play model. It's like, yes, this is how you're doing it right, where there's just infinite possibilities. I can buy it with any combination of whatever I have. For me, I can't save gold to save my life because I always just buy more packs or buy more arena runs. So for me, I bought the whole thing with real money because I'm just like, well, I'm totally going to I'm gonna play $20 worth. So,
That's interesting. So
they did a really good job, and there's a lot of different ways to get get access to the content. So whatever you want to do, you should totally go do because it's a lot of fun. Oh, man, I'm having so much fun. Like, I literally, with the exception of what we're going to talk about later, which is Wolf Among Us, I have, like, not played anything except for Hearthstone in the last week. And it's good because it's kind of broken me out of my Hearthstone shell. Because, I mean, like, you just get so into, like, tweaking this one specific deck that you really like to play on ladder. So for me, it's my Hunter deck. And I'm just like, tweak, tweak, tweak. I'm really into, like, okay, well, I play this card, you know, 27% of the time. But, you know, maybe if I replaced it with one other card, I would play that 32% of the time. So that's better. And, you know, like, all of these, like, little teeny tiny really into the weeds on these decks. And now it's just kind of like, well, this heroic dude comes in with a hero power for 2 mana that summons a 4/4. And my entire strategy is, like, out the window. So I'm just like, well, you know, like, now you have to really think outside the box and start from scratch, and it really just takes you out of your comfort zone, and, oh, man, it's so much better. It was a much-needed, not revamp or refresh, but I guess revitalization of, I'm sure, the meta. I haven't even played on the ladder yet, but, you know, just kind of, like, mixing it up and making it different, and, oh, amazing. And no, good. I'm not talking about Smite. I'm talking about Hearthstone, my other total obsession.
Smite is almost like, Jocelyn played Smite.
Yes, I did play Smite. But,
and I don't think anything new happened.
No, and I totally got it out of my system because we were hanging out with friends before I came here. We were just sitting around having dinner, having some drinks, and they're gamers as well. And they're saying, oh, what's new, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, not much. You know, I was up really late last night playing Smite with my friends, and blah, blah, blah. They're like, oh, what's Smite? I'm like, oh.
So Jared tricked you, by the way.
Oh. Is this a drinking game? Is this like, can we get Jocelyn to talk about Smite?
Drink.
Drink. Which is why we were playing Smite, to figure out our Smite drinking game for Extra Life, which, if you guys are familiar with what Extra Life is or what we did last year we had a fantastic year. We raised over $4,000 for the Children's Miracle Network. We're going to do it again this year. It happens October 25th, I think.
Yes, October 25th, and it is only 24 hours, which in that extra hour.
So, basically what we do is we play video games for 24 hours. We stream for the majority of that, and then all the donations go straight to Children's Miracle Network. So we have a team. It's the Gamers In team. As of right now, it's Ryan and myself and our friend Yagavos, or James. You might know him from the Frog Pants Tadpool. He runs the Facebook group. He also does Initiative Check. And generally, we get some support from our sponsor, Daiko Systems. So it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun coordinating it. We play games and stream all day. The chat room is awesome, and it's for a fantastic cause. So if you guys haven't heard of Extra Life, you can go check it out. It's extra-life.org. And if you want to go support us, you can do so right now, or you can totally wait because we're going to be campaigning for the next few months. So that is extra-life.org. or sorry, extra-life.org/team/TGI, and you'll find us. You can donate to the team as a whole or each individual participant. I think our goal this year is $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've upped it from, I think last year our goal was 2,000 and we doubled it. So this year we're aiming for five. So, yeah, it's a lofty goal, but it's for a really good cause, and we love it. We spend so much time and effort in it every year, and, oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah, and we should mention that we've had a few people contact us to be on the team, and
yes,
that is still happening. So it's not just the three of us. If you are serious about Extra Life, definitely get in touch with us. We'll the email info@gamersinpodcast.com.
Right.
Because we are interested in having people play games.
But yes, this year we're going to finish up with a Smite drinking game. So we are going to be playing Smite and drinking whenever things happen. So last night we were playing Smite to try to figure out what those things might be. Turns out inappropriate comments about gods.
That's one of them. Yeah, I was going to pull up the list, but while I'm doing that, we should also put a call out to the chat room. Like, they've watched us play Smite a lot, and they might actually have.
If you guys have anything that would be a good drinking game rule, for instance, every time we make an inappropriate comment about some sort of god interaction, drink. Every time there's a deicide, drink. Every time Jocelyn swears, drink. No, we're not doing that one.
No, because she'll do that on purpose. Tower goes down. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Tower goes down, yeah.
We've been playing a lot of Assault. We got Release the Kraken.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the releasing of the Kraken. Yeah. So every time Jocelyn releases her Kraken, we get drinking.
And what else is there? Romerica skin?
Oh, yes. Every time the Romerica skin is used and yells, Romerica, drink.
Yeah. And, it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a ton of fun. And the chat room says, anytime Ribbitits is used.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem with those types of rules is because, like, we affect that. Like, we say Ribbitits, I guess.
True, yes. It should be, whenever possible, the other team affecting our team in some way.
Maybe every time the opposite team has a Neath, drink.
Yeah. Every time. Oh, Ribbitits is up. Drink.
Yeah. Drink. Drink. I don't know. There's going to be tons of rules, I'm sure, and James is helping us out with that one because he is good at drinking.
He's good at drinking and drinking games, both of those. Yeah. So have you been playing anything else other than Hearthstone and Smite this week?
Yes. I had today off, so I've been kind of finishing up some games and starting some new ones.
Nice.
One I talked about last week.
Which I totally missed. I haven't listened to that one yet. I'm sorry. I hear Josh was awesome, so thank you very much, Josh, for filling in for me. We do appreciate it.
Josh was fantastic. He brought such delights as Final Fantasy XI, and he was revisiting an old MMO and had stuff to say about that, and also Guacamelee, which turns out is not a dip. It is a video game.
Is there avocados involved?
Yes.
If not, I would be very upset.
There's also Zelda and Metroid references in that one. So.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good. But I had talked about Valiant Hearts, which is a Ubisoft game using the UbiArt framework. You know, like Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins?
Yeah.
Those games. So sort of the same like graphical style. But this one is set in the First World War, and it's a side-scrolling sort of puzzle-slash-adventure game.
Okay.
And it's very brutal, like...
You're really selling it.
Well, no, sorry.
It's the First World War, guys, and it's brutal.
It's brutal. First World War, trench warfare, people are dying. Like, the first few levels, you're, like, playing as a French chef or something, and you're at the Battle of Ypres or whatever, and, like, chlorine gas is coming in, and people are, like, choking and on their own,
this
whatever.
This doesn't sound fun. I like escapism in my games.
Sure,
although, that being said, my favorite Call of Duty is definitely, like, the World War II Call of Duties, but still.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. You say you like escapism, and I think that it's not kind of that kind of game. Like, if you're really into games that just take you away, like you mentioned Call of Duty, like those are war escapism games. Like you're playing a sort of hoorah version of war, whereas like Valiant Hearts is war. It depicts it the way I'm sure it happened in 1914 to a certain degree. And like you're picking up collectibles, and those collectibles are like shedding a piece of history for you. So you'll pick up like a...
Okay, I do love lore.
Yeah, so that's the
although
thing.
Although I guess, is it lore if it's actual history? Does it...
You sound like a super nerd when you call history lore in the real world, but I suppose. Are you a fan of our world's history?
I am, actually. I did 2 years of an undergrad that was history before I switched over to science.
Okay, well, then you would enjoy this game, I think. Like, it's got a very heavy history. Are we going to talk about Hearthstone anymore?
No, we're probably not going to talk about Hearthstone anymore. But Angry Chicken is every Monday night, and we will be doing an episode this week. So you should tune in Monday night, because we were going to go all over what's going on in Next. Yes. And really into the different cards and what you've earned, what good decks are and stuff. So if you're here for Hearthstone talk,
yeah,
head over to Monday.
Yeah, or stick around and maybe learn about games that don't involve cards with giant boobs depicted. That might be something you could do.
There's giant boobs in almost every game, though. How about Valiant Arts? Is there giant boobs in it? No?
I don't think there are. I was kind of distracted by all the death and mayhem, but no, like, there's a lot of historical facts. Like, you're getting color pictures of the First World War alongside like descriptions of what happened, and like collectibles you'd pick up would be like a urine-soaked rag that was actually used in the Battle of Ypres to like protect yourselves against the chlorine gas that the Germans used for the first time. And turns out a Canadian actually came up with that. So go Canada.
That's too realistic. Too much.
Exactly. So it's very shocking when you see like the way this game looks and the type of story it's trying to tell. And I finished it today, and it's one of those games. I know a lot of people have said to me, like, why do you play the Walking Dead games? They're so sad, and why would you like a game for a game being sad? And it's like watching a movie and saying, like, why would you watch that movie? Of course it's going to be sad. Like, it's about a person dying of cancer. Like, that's awful.
Okay, seriously? Who decided that that was going to be a good movie? Like, I don't even know who would want to make that movie. Because I saw the trailer, and I'm like, I'm tearing up from the trailer. I know how this ends. Like... I can't even remember that. It's something about, like, Moon and Stars or something. If you see a title that says Moon and Stars, people, don't be tricked. Don't go. It's about, like, teenage cancer. Don't go.
Exactly. So there is no teenage cancer in Valiant Heroes, or Hearts, rather. But the ending, actually, like, I don't cry with media at all, like, usually. I can't even remember the last time this happened. But, you know, you get teary-eyed.
Oh,
and you're like,
I cry all the time.
That's sad. But Fault in Our Stars, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds like thanks, Josh. Don't go anywhere near Fault in Our Stars.
That sounds like Fault in Our Stars, brought to you by Menon. I don't know, but Valiant Hearts, the ending was super sad, and I cried, and it was... And I'm not going to explain why, because that would be a spoiler, and I think that it was really cool to have a game kind of tell a story to an end and not have that typical ending that Call of Duty would have, where, like, what is it, Call of Duty 4 or 4.5 or whatever, that had, like, you surface from the water.
Call of Duty 4.52.
Whatever, you surface from the water and there's, like, a bunch of ships and fireworks are going off and the American flag's flying and then Fortunate Son plays in and you're like, fuck yeah, man.
That didn't actually happen.
Well... A good 3/4 of that happened. I remember playing that game. Maybe Fortunate Son didn't play, but some kind of rockin' American tune did. This is not like that, and I think I can appreciate both types of games, but Majerkland, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, in the chat room said that 25 years ago he wishes he could play this for history class, and
I think it's MJ Kirkland.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My Jerkland. Oh, Ryan.
He's got, like, a lime green text, and he was the only one probably supporting me, and now I've kind of thrown him under the bus. I'm sorry, MJ Kirkland. Yeah, it's MJ Kirkland. Thank you, Iris. He left the chat room. But no, he had said that he wished he had this game when he was studying history, and I think that... I agree with him, and I feel I might even send this game to my history teacher from high school, who my mother's a supply teacher, so she keeps in contact with all these people. But it's very historically accurate. You learn something, and it's not just the American hoorah type story. It's got involvement of all kinds of, you know, the British, the French, the Germans, the Canadians, Australians, even some of the combatants in Africa too. So it's really interesting, and I hope it did well, because I'd like to see Ubisoft do more of it, mm-hmm. like more stuff like this, and less, you know, like Far Cry 16 or the Assassin's
Creed.
That's
true. I mean, like, it's always better to have original properties, and mm-hmm. it's interesting to bring in historical events into video games. I find that, like, I have more of an attachment to a video game where I have an existing idea of what they're trying to talk about. So, for mm-hmm. instance, I know I always talk about it, but Smite, I have an interest in mythology, so I was generally drawn to Smite more so than League of Legends, where they're all just, you know, made-up heroes that have no basis in any lore that I'm used to. Same with, like, how I find it difficult to get into WildStar, because I don't have an existing connection to their lore. I find it really interesting, but, you know, it takes a lot to get into it, whereas, like, WoW, I've now been in it for a few years, I'm familiar with the characters, I'm reading all the books, so I'm getting into that. And then, hi, Zoe! puppy time.
Sorry, she was whining at the door. Continue.
So, you know, like, if you have an original property that you can pull from history or whatever, and people already have a connection to it, I find that really interesting, and I'd rather see something like that as opposed to fictional property iteration 18. You know, it's just, it's more interesting to me. Although I don't know if I would play this game mm-hmm. strictly because, like I say, I like a little escapism. I'm sure it's very interesting.
You know,
I don't like to be, and I've kind of turned away from movies that do the same thing, where it's just like, you know I'm probably going to be really upset and really depressed when I finish playing this game or watching this movie or watching this TV show or whatever. I gave up Grey's Anatomy because I was literally crying in every episode. And I was like, I didn't even want to watch it with Joel because I'm like, this is embarrassing. I get 10 minutes into an episode and I am like all red and blotchy and streaky tears. Oh. And I'm like, this is just wrong. So I'm yeah. just like, you know, I don't want that in my entertainment. I would much rather something, you know, like big action-y exploding Avengers or like something super funny and stupid like Bridesmaids, which I haven't even seen yet, but I can just imagine the crazy stupidness. You know, I'd rather that. South Park is a great example. Mixture of both crazy stupidness and reality.
That being said, that the stuff I've talked about this game is the stuff that I've found the most interesting, because I like to play games that are different once in a while. But like the gameplay in the game is really cool too. It's sort of on par with old school adventure titles where you're moving around and trying to solve different puzzles. And it's not until, like, they near the end that it starts to... I mean, it's just generally sad because war is awful, right? And I think maybe the closest thing you got to that in Call of Duty was when Ghost got killed. Spoilers. But, you know, that guy with the skull mask was really relatable. But, you know, I really enjoy it. And at $15 as a download title, it's definitely worth checking out if you are into history. But if you're, like... Jocelyn, I totally get that too. Like, if you don't want to, you know, be depressed and knowing you will be depressed. Like, I wasn't too depressed.
It's Papers, Please all over again.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I can thank you, MJ Kirkland. He changed it from the green. Sweet. I totally understand that. And, you know, I respect that too, right? Like, everybody's different and everybody plays different games. And, I figured I'd do a palate cleanser and load up episode 4 of Walking Dead. That did not pan out.
No, that's no. just as sad and just as depressing.
Even worse. That game really, no, it wasn't sad, like it wasn't teary sad. I mean, because it's really hard to get emotionally involved in characters that have lip syncing like Terry and what's her face from South Park. Yeah. You know, where their mouths just flap.
Terrence and Philip.
Yes, thank you. The Canadians.
The Canadians, yeah.
But other than that, like, the stuff they make you choose, I'm not going to spoil it, but the stuff they make you choose in those titles.
I found that too. And specifically more so, not in, although, I mean, we'll speak about Wolf Among Us very shortly, but I found less so in episode one, more so in episode two, and I've only completed the first two, or sorry, season two. Sorry, I get this all confused. So season two of Walking Dead is worse than everything else. Episode one and two of season two of Walking Dead was just like, there were things that I'm like, I'm trying to choose, and it's like both the options, even though there's clearly a third option that any rational person would come up with, for some reason that's not an option. And you're just like, but,
Yeah, I mean, the way, and it continues to do that with the fourth episode, there are instances where you're forced to make a decision, and just for so people know, like, you play as Clementine, like a small child. I think you're like maybe
I think she's 12. Like 12, yeah.
Yeah. So the decisions you're making don't make much sense because you're making, and maybe that is a sort of a, the Telltale's way of saying, like, people grow up fast in the Walking Dead universe, which we know is true, but you're making decisions that obviously you shouldn't be making. You're not the leader. Mm-hmm. You're making snap judgments and not involving able-bodied people around you in certain decisions that could make the outcome a little more favorable.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what Telltale's doing. Like, they're telling a story within the Walking Dead universe that exploits the fact that everyone's a douchebag in that universe, except for the people you're with, and even they're like on the edge. Like, people are slowly moving over that line of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
So in this episode, while being probably the best in season two so far,
so is there five episodes in?
There is. Okay. So this one ends like all others on a cliffhanger.
Of course.
This one probably the better cliffhanger, and better in the sense that I don't think there was a trailer at the end of this episode. Usually there's like a trailer saying like, next time on The Walking Dead.
Right, right.
There wasn't that for this episode, and I really appreciate Telltale doing that because any sort of trailer would have cut the tension of the ending.
Right.
You know? And they did that with episode three where there was a trailer and it was immediately like, oh, good. You know, like, at least I know blah, blah, blah is
going on and is still happening or still around or whatever. Yeah. I find that with a lot of things now, whether it's trailers for movies or video games or whatever, they've really started to give away way too much. And it's like you get the first spoiler trailer like 2 years before the movie's supposed to come out. And then they have to give you a new trailer every 4 to 6 months. So then they just run out of things to show you. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, if I just figure out this one little piece of information from the trailers, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I know what happens in the entire movie. And, like, I don't think that there's been, like, I've stopped watching trailers for games and for movies because I was getting to the point where I would sit and watch a 2-hour movie and be like, oh, yep, totally saw all of those important scenes and knew exactly what was going to happen. And this, like, isn't entertaining anymore.
The reason I stopped watching trailers was specifically because of movie trailers. Video game trailers, not so much, because I find certain companies just do it better.
Some companies do it well, but I find that they're going closer and closer to the way that movie trailers are going because games are getting to the point where they're closer and closer to movies in terms of story, production value, all the rest of it. Like, it's no longer Mario jumping along platforms, and you don't really need a trailer for that because you're just like, well, it's another Mario game, so there's going to be platforms. You know, so
it's also like game length, not just story. Like, you look at game length, like maybe take Dragon Age Inquisition and compare that to episode 4 of Walking Dead. Dragon Age Inquisition could have trailers until the cows come home. They even delayed it by a month so they could have another trailer. I'm pretty sure that's the reason they delayed it. They could have those trailers and not spoil key
too
moments.
Too much content,
you know, because it's a huge game. But for episode 4, any trailer is immediately going to give you a glimpse of a resolution for the cliffhanger of episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely not going to watch any trailers for episode 5, and I hope that they just drop it. like they have been with, like they did with episode 5 of Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Mm-hmm. Which kind of brings us to our topic of the week, which is going to be Wolf Among Us episode 5. We are going to do spoilers. Before we get into that, I want to give anyone a chance who needs to drop out to just, you know, turn us off now, because it's pretty much going to be the rest of the show. So if you want to turn us off now, we won't take it personally, because we are going to spoil Wolf Among Us, the entire game, because this was the last episode of season 1. So turn us off. Turn us off now. Until you do that, I want to say that Ryan and I really appreciate it. Totally threw me off, because the little pre-roll here has Jocelyn and I, and I am Jocelyn. So yeah, threw me right off. Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So, Wolf Among Us, Episode 5. First thing I can say, short. Like, small. I was surprised. There wasn't a whole, like, I mean, there was content, there was story, but, like, I got to the end and I was kind of like, oh. And even then, like, I knew that Ryan had already warned me that, or I guess not warned me, but basically I was like, oh man, I don't have a lot of time to play, like, what should I do? And Ryan's like, oh, you can totally get through Wolf Among Us in, like, an hour. I was like, what? Really? Like, and normally it was a good 2 hours, so I was like, oh, it's half as long as everything else? Weird.
Yeah, episode 4 was short as well, but I felt like they told what they needed. Well, I felt like they told what they needed to tell.
They wrapped it up well.
Yeah, I felt more so with episode 5 of Wolf Among Us that it felt very rushed, you know? Yeah. It was like boom, 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 boom. It was actually kind of boring to a certain extent.
Because it was so quick. It was like you didn't have time to digest anything. You didn't like it.
I liked it, but I didn't like it.
Oh, I was like, I thought we finally found a game that Ryan didn't like.
No. I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as, like all the reviews coming out were like, love it, love it, love it. I thought it did what it needed to do to move us through season 1, but I'm overly excited.
Yeah, for me, I felt like, first of all, I haven't played episode 4. Like, I played episode 4 literally the day it came out. Yep. And I haven't touched it since. And I really feel like I wish I'd played 1 through 4 again right before 5 came out. Because 5 was really short. 5 tied up about 4 different storylines. And because it tied up 4 different storylines within the space of like an hour, I felt like I was like, oh wait, who's that again? What, like, there's one point right at the very beginning where you're in the Crooked Man's lair talking to him and his 4 or 5 like minion guys, like enforcers, whatever you want to call them. And basically he says, oh, well, who do you think committed the murders? And then like all of their names pop up and I'm like, I don't remember, like, I don't know, I think maybe this dude, and I just ended up, I think, blaming Tweedledee or Tweedledum, one of the two of them, and because I was just like, well, I can't remember who dude with the sunglasses is, I don't think it was strip bar guy, so Tweedledum? Like, and then they were just kind of like, they all laughed at me, and I'm like, okay, and then, and, you know, like, spoilers, they end up saying, oh, it was strip club guy. And I was kind of like, well, from everything in my experience in Wolf Among Us, I wouldn't have suspected that, because I played a very understanding and nice wolf versus, like, I felt like the game was constantly pushing me to let go, be evil, be the big bad wolf, and I wasn't playing it that way. And there were a lot of decisions in the final episode where I was kind of like, you literally had the choice between, like, well, for instance, when the strip club owner guy is dying, you can either leave him to die or kill him. And I'm like, well, why don't I call for help? Like, there's a phone right there on the bar. I can see it in the shot.
He said he was too far gone, right? Like, it's hard
to
tell.
You don't know that. If you're still conscious and you're holding your stomach and you're bleeding and you're like, no, man, I'm too far gone.
His guts were on the outside. They literally show his intestines spilled out of his innards. But no, I agree with you. I think it's the world's fault.
It's the world's fault.
I blame society. No. I think in that specific
instance, it's really a culture of blame.
It's really tough to tell the rules of the world in the way that characters can die. Mm. Getting your head lopped off, yeah, sure, makes sense. You're dead. But, like, Bigby takes a real big beating in episode three.
And, yeah.
He survived. Mm-hmm. So, you're right, like, calling for help, I'm sure Georgie Porgy could have just shoved his innards back in and been
like... That's what I didn't understand, is it seems like there's... You know, the time, I mean, granted, when, because we've talked about it on Gamers In before, the end of episode three, I ripped the throat out of Tweedledee,
sure,
or Tweedledum. Like, I killed him, and I, like, it's practically decapitated him with my crazy wolf claws, because I was just like, okay, these guys are not going to stop coming at me. I need to send a message. So, you know, like, they were shooting me full of silver bullets, which apparently I'm allergic to or something.
you know werewolves are allergic to silver.
Well, yeah, I know werewolves are, but they never really kind of made it, like, you're the big bad wolf, but you're a person, but does that mean you're a werewolf? Like, there's a whole lot of lore that I felt was really fuzzy.
Yeah, I guess.
So, anyways, you're getting shot full of bullets, and you literally have his brother in your hand, and it's like, do you want to kill him or let him go? I'm going to fucking kill him! Like, done. But, like, that was the only time where I really kind of, like, gave in to the game and was like, I need to do something here. So, like, and so that was very clearly, like, I ripped the crap out of him. Like, he was toast. The other murder victims that you find have their heads lopped off. You beat the living tar out of the woodsman at one point, and he survives. Bigby gets, like, cut and slashed and shot and just, like, ripped to shreds. He survives. And then Georgie gets stabbed in the stomach, and he bleeds out and dies? I'm like, what?
Now, that all being said, I think the issue... Don't get me wrong, the story was great, the game is great, it plays it's one of the better Telltale titles, but I think the issue I had that made me a little more disappointed, I've had longer to think about it, I've had longer to kind of have it in my brain and jumbled around, and I think the reasoning I've come down to is that it just doesn't live up to what I was hoping would be, like, the killer. It's like, even, like, Bloody Mary... lives up to be is this great character, and then
Bloody Mary was fantastic.
Yeah, and then the killer is just, like, literally a mob boss, and he made Georgie kill these girls because they knew something.
See, and I think that there's definitely more to it, because I totally called it, that whole ribbon thing. Remember when we did episode one and I said, like, oh, I totally understand this. I remember this, like, children's horror story thing about the girl with the ribbon. And, you know, like, she gets married, and the whole time, like, the guy that she meets and romances her, gets married to her, they have kids, all the rest of it, always asks her, why do you always wear the ribbon? Why do you always wear the ribbon? I can't talk about it. Don't ask me about it. Blah, 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 blah. And eventually, when they're, like, old and gray and dying anyway, she says, okay, you really want to know about the ribbon? Take the ribbon off, and her head falls off. So I'm like, I know this story. I heard this story as a kid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was no big shock or surprise to me when that was... And I know, like, I had a really weird childhood, okay?
Your mother, by all means, might want to check her fairy tales. There might have been a most violent one that she could have told you about.
Nah, then I wouldn't be the person I am.
Yeah, you're just lopping heads off left, right, and center.
So basically, like, I mean, that... part of the story seemed like it was supposed to be a really big reveal, because, I mean, I can't remember exactly who the author was or what the collection was that I was reading out of, but basically, like, it's a kind of not as well-known fairy tale. It's not on the level of Cinderella, Snow White, Beauty and the Beast, all those kind of ones that everybody knows. Definitely one of the, like, not pulling from the bottom of the barrel, but it's obscure. So, I mean, it's definitely something you could pull from and say, like, oh, it's a twist, except for because I had a weird childhood and liked horror, I ended up it not being a twist for me because I saw it coming. So there seemed to be a whole lot more to it tied to that whole idea of the ribbon, because right at the very end, when you're talking to... it's not Ariel, but she used to be the Little Mermaid. Nerissa, I think they called her?
Nerissa, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're talking to Nerissa at the end...
Oh, okay.
It seemed, and this is what kind of, like, threw me off, because, and why I wish I'd played 1 through 4 right away, is that, like, there's all these little flashes of these things that Bigby all of a sudden remembers tied to conversations that he's had with Nerissa, and you know through the whole thing, 1 through 5, that she's an important character. But then, yeah. You know, he's getting all these little pieces of, like, audio that are playing, mm-hmm. and then it's like, you get a choice, and it's like, do you let her go or go after her? And I'm kind of like, I know I'm going to go after her because everything that she said is really funny. And she seems like she's not giving you all the information you need. She seems like she isn't who she seems to be or whatever. You know, there's something more there. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where you're like, I don't remember. I don't know why. I just have this gut feeling like I'm supposed to know.
Yeah.
What all the significance of all these audio clips is.
Yeah, the theory is that Nerissa... okay, Josh put it in there. So Nerissa is Faith from the beginning of episode 1 because Bigby never meets Faith. Nerissa essentially had, like, a glamour that turned her into Faith. And, it could be because,
this
like,
is the other thing. I didn't kind of realize that there were 2 separate victims, I guess. Like, I knew that there was the troll victim, but it's like I forgot about the other one. So yeah. The troll was glamored to look like Snow White. Mm-hmm. And Snow White's head is the one that they found on the steps at the end of episode 1, right? So that was the troll glamoured to look like Snow White. So that was 1 victim. There was another victim as well?
They found 2 heads. So the start of the game, you're at the woodsman and you're interrupting a fight between him and Faith.
Right.
Who, at the end
she's
of this
the one
game...
With the, she's the one with the smoke and the, you know...
Sure. And you give her, like...
He gives her money or yep. something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then her head shows up on the steps, which you later find out was put there by Nerissa. Because yes. she couldn't say anything because of the ribbon, so she felt like she could, you know, put the head there to kind of kick things off.
Right.
But then at the end of that episode, you're coming back from catching Tweedledum or Tweedledee, and Snow White's head is on the steps, which is the troll.
So I don't remember... Mm-hmm. And obviously that's what kicks off the whole thing, and then you start investigating it with Snow, and then that's why you think that Snow White has actually been murdered for looking into this. Yeah. But I literally don't remember episode 1, you know, mm-hmm. outside of the fight with the woodsman and talking to Faith outside of the woodsman's apartment. Then I remember going to a home with a guy who you think is dead, but then isn't dead, but then ends up dead.
The prince.
The prince, yeah. And then going back and finding Snow White's head. So it's like there's big gaps of episode 1 that I'm totally mm-hmm. forgetting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem with episode 8. Like, that came out in November.
Yeah.
Or maybe October, like late
Something
October.
Something like that, yeah. It was a
so
while
So we're talking
ago.
About, like, 6 to 8 months ago. And I'm not surprised, and I was not surprised when things would happen, and I think Telltale does the best they can without, like, kind of outright spelling it out, because when you start a new episode, it says previously on, and it shows you tidbits, but
yeah.
most of those tidbits are from the episode prior,
mm-hmm.
And maybe a couple from episodes before, but they don't want to, like, legitimately say, like, you're going to need to remember this, because that kind of gives away what might happen in the next episode, mm-hmm. or in that episode.
Yeah. So, and again, Josh in the chat room is saying, I really recommend playing the whole thing. You'll appreciate the story as a whole. And I agree, it's a good story, but I think that it really highlights the problem with episodic gaming, is mm-hmm. that, you know, like, we got these little chunks, they take 1 to 2 hours to play, we get them 2 months apart, and then you don't remember what happened. It's not the same as an episodic TV show where it's like once a week and the story is spread out. You get 1 hour for 10, 30 weeks, whatever. And you can really keep up with the story because you're being reminded, like, you know, like Thursday night is Grey's night and I get my episode of Grey's and then I know what's happening with all the characters. I can remember to a week ago. It's not a big stretch. Mm-hmm. I can't remember 1 hour of content 2 months ago when I smoosh it all together with all the other games I play.
Yeah.
I don't understand what brought on episodic gaming or, like, you know, why they chose to go with this style, but I really don't like it. I would rather just get a 10 hours of content and play 10 hours of content? Like, why do we need to split it up over 10 months?
I'm not sure what caused it, but Telltale's been doing it for a long time.
I know.
And it must work for them. I don't particularly mind it, because I'm more of a, I have a 2-hour chunk. Like today, mm-hmm. like I had like a chunk of time, so I was able to play Walking Dead.
It makes it very digestible. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I like the idea of like replaying the whole thing again, but maybe before season 2 comes out.
Yeah, to refresh your mind. I'm assuming that they're going to do at least one more season, two more. Do we have a number of seasons on this?
They haven't announced it. Like, The Wolf Among Us was announced like 5 years ago, like a long time ago, around the same time that actually The Walking Dead was announced. And now we're on season 2 of Walking Dead, and I think that was a big bang for them, and I think The Wolf Among Us has also done them well, so they're probably going to fast-track season 2. But that ending, like the walk away or run after, is kind of like, well, of course you're going to choose run after her.
Yeah.
But season 2 might start with you run after her and don't get her, and then
it would have been the same as if you just walked the other way and let her go. Yeah.
Which is another thing these like Telltale is very guilty of from time to time. I understand it helps them cut down on production, but you know, like if you're going to give me a wildly different choice, then
it should send my story in a wildly different direction. Whereas I've found that in Wolf Among Us specifically, with the exception of that one episode where there were the three places you could visit and you only had time to visit two. And the ones that you chose and the order that you chose to go to them in really actually made a difference in the evidence and your understanding of the story. And I thought that was a really interesting twist on just the genre as a whole. But overall, I felt like there was a lot of times where it was like, you could do this or you could do this. And it seemed like I would pick one of the two, usually the more like level-headed pacifist of the two, or like the good choice, for lack of a better term, because a lot of them really did fall into a big bad wolf or, you know, little good wolf. You know, it was pretty obvious, you know, what was the good choice, what was the bad choice.
Right.
You know, like, I felt like, regardless of the choice, I could see the exact same cutscene happening. Because, you know, I'd make my choice, I would say my line, and then it's like the story would just continue on as if I hadn't actually had any input. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't like that.
Well, I mean, it's just like The Walking
Sometimes
Dead.
Sometimes the cuts didn't even line up well.
Yeah. Well, it's just like The Walking Dead in the sense that when you make a decision, the story doesn't go in wildly different directions, just different characters fall in line with you.
Yeah.
You know? So, true. In the sense, like, okay, well, that brings us to the Crooked Man. Like, what did you think of him as your final boss, kind of, essentially?
I really felt like he was not evil enough for how he was kind of built up. You know,
he's
kind
boring,
of just,
I thought.
Yeah, he was really, really boring. He just kind of sat there and tried to talk his way out of stuff and never really did anything. They never even did, like, the fairy tale type tropey thing where, you know, there's, like, the shadow over them and they're looking out from under their eyes and they're all, like, evil. And all of a sudden, you know, like, all of a sudden they're just, like, everyone's in normal lighting. But then all of a sudden, like, the evil person says something really evil and the room goes all dark and they're, like, looking out underneath their eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The fairy tale tropey thing? Yeah. They didn't even do that with him. And that would have fit in so well.
I thought there
was never like the dun 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 moment.
No, that again, like maybe that's Telltale trying to be like, we didn't do what you thought we were gonna do. But
yeah, but
I would have. It was kind of anticlimactic when you go into the room and like, oh, that's the murderer right over there. I guess I got you.
And yeah, then you, like, it's so anticlimactic. It's just like, oh, I found you finally in your secret lair that you can only get to like once a day between like 11 and 11:01 or something. But now we're just going to sit and have tea.
Well, he was super cocky, right? Like he figured that he was doing such an amazing job at making these fables happy that, that they would bail him out in the end. And even then, like, I think there probably wasn't even a way that he was getting out of there. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, he couldn't see that even though he was helping people, he was also, these people could tell that he was hurting others. And it
It was really, I feel like, not politically motivated, but almost like it became too realistic. It became too much like, you know, fables or fairy tales, really, to me, generally are black and white. You know, there's a good guy and a bad guy, and, you know, like, there is no of this, like, gray. So basically, in the end, it just kind of went, well, you thought that the crooked man was just the bad guy, but really he was in it to make money, but, you know, help all the fables that basically the government left behind. And, you know, Bigby, who you play, and Snow White, who's not really his sidekick, but, you know, whatever, she's running the town now. So you've got Bigby and Snow White on the other side representing, you know, authority, the government, you know, all the rest of it. And he's basically like, oh, they left you behind, and I was the only one who was there for you, and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden you're kind of like, well, you went from this, like, good-bad dichotomy that was a really interesting dynamic to just now everybody's kind of on this equal playing field and everything's just kind of muddled. And it's just, like, realistic, yeah, probably makes sense. Like, everything that both sides were saying made sense. But then at the same time, you're kind of like, again, where's my entertainment? Like, this has gone to, I see the point you're making, but you're not entertaining me anymore.
And that goes back to our conversation about Valiant Hearts, in the sense that you don't want to play a game that is not offering you that escapism. And certain points in Wolf Among Us offer that escapism in the sense that you're solving puzzles, you're ripping people's throats out, you're having conversations with interesting characters. But then when it gets right down to the trial at the end, you're experiencing this, like, tough and you know, you have an opportunity as Bigby to continue to keep the fables in the fable world, which is what you described in the sense that it's very black and white, or bring the fables into the real world where they are now, in the sense that nothing is black and white. It's just a big old map of gray, right? So I see what they did, and I appreciate it, but then I also see the point you're making in the sense that, like, it stops being a game and starts becoming a really good courtroom drama.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I really, really enjoy Game of Thrones for exactly this reason. There is no character, with the exception probably of Ned Stark, because he, spoiler alert, dies really early. So, you know, he doesn't have a chance to get corrupted or be bad or be evil. But for the most part, George R.R. Martin writes a really interesting story with gray characters. And I found that they started off black and white, and I think that that's the problem, is that they started off in episode 1 and 2 as characters, very interesting characters, very clearly good, very clearly evil, you know, whatever. Very few gray characters. The ones that were gray stay gray, which was good, but I felt like they just tried to flip-flop and mush things together too much, so that in the end you just had this convoluted plot with too many people and not really knowing what's good, what's bad, what's wrong, and what's right. And the whole thing just kind of got smooshed. Instead of, like, George R. R. Martin in Game of Thrones, where everyone's gray all the time, and so those interactions are really interesting, because you never know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad, you know? So it was missing that kind of interesting interaction. They lost that by trying to make everybody like, oh, you thought he was bad, but now he's actually not as bad as you thought. It's like, no, now you're just kind of, like, messing with my story.
Yeah, no, he was always, like, don't get us wrong, like, the crooked man was always bad. He just, it just kind of showed that, you know, because he thought he was doing good so well, he sort of portrayed that on the other characters, where they're like, nah, he's actually really good. You know, he's doing good for these people. He may be a bit of a dipshit, but he's actually helping them. And I don't know. I enjoyed The Wolf Among Us. I'll play season 2.
Wolf Among Us more than I liked Walking Dead.
Yeah, and I can totally see that, because The Walking Dead goes in the direction that you're talking about, like, black and white. Or, well, I mean, yeah. like in the sense that you got a binary choice, you know? You're locked in. Black and white was a bad way of putting it, but it's a binary choice, right? There's a lot of gray in the Walking Dead, but for some reason it doesn't let you choose that one shade of gray that you'd love to use. But
for the record, we are not currently talking about 50 Shades of Gray.
No, although that new trailer that I'm never going to watch, that I
oh my god, my coworker made me watch that. I only made it halfway through, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go to a theater and watch porn with a whole bunch of other 30 to 50-year-old women. It freaks me out.
The first half of that trailer actually just looks like a movie where this girl like kind of like digs on this rich dude, and the rich dude's kind of like, yeah, I guess I could, you know, use a date from the Mundy world. And if you shut it off there, it's like, it's a romantic comedy.
It's a romantic comedy, yeah.
But then, you know, if you keep going,
it goes corny really fast.
It starts to become what I would describe as Cinemax.
Yeah. But, like, so I've never even read the book, but even just knowing of people when they're like, oh, I've read that book, I'm like, no, oh, my eyes, oh. There go my glasses, too. Like, I'm just bad, guys, bad. No one needs to know that kind of information. No one needs to sit in a gigantic room full of people watching that movie. Nobody.
High-def anal beads. Anyways, moving on. Just Josh in the chat room says that the Game of Thrones Telltale game might be the ultimate... is going to be awesome. So that might be that might be the awesome ultimate thing that you need from Telltale. That might be the right kind of source material to be the first Telltale game to nail it for you.
Yeah.
Just like kind of The Walking Dead did it for me.
And again, like I do like The Wolf Among Us more than I like
Sorry, chat room.
We did totally go off on a tangent. Sorry, chat room.
I don't know how that happened. I can't even remember.
But, no, I did really like...
palate cleanser.
Aww. Puppy!
There, okay. We're good.
So I did really like Wolf Among Us. I will play episode 2. I think they did a better job with Wolf Among Us than they did with Walking Dead. Not that they did a bad job with Walking Dead. It just wasn't up my alley. But, yeah, I really... I enjoyed it. I encourage everyone to play it. Especially, there's a lot of sales going on right now. So you guys can pick it up for, like... way less than originally. Like, I think, was it $25 originally? Like, I've seen it for as little as, like, 10 on all these Steam sales, so.
That's the other thing against episodic gaming, is that if you just are patient enough to skip out on the first 2 hours of gameplay within the first week of launch, you can expect to save a good chunk of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't picked it up, pick it up. Oh, actually... for those of you who don't own Wolf Among Us, I have an extra copy on my Steam account because I bought it to give it away on the show, and then I haven't been on the show in like 3 to 4 weeks, so I completely forgot about it until right now. So if you want a copy of Wolf Among Us to give it a shot, you should... Ryan, what should we make them do? This is getting really 50 Shades of Grey again.
Yeah,
okay, so you guys should write in
fan art.
No fan art. You guys should write in to info@gamersinpodcast.com. Let us know what you're thinking about, because obviously you didn't actually listen to this section, so we'll have to make a post on the website, because if you don't have Wolf Among Us, then you would have turned us off for the spoilers. So,
make us do something. I'm doing nerd push-ups. do something awesome. Maybe jumping jacks. I don't know. Switch it up a bit.
You guys should write in to info@gamersandpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Let us know what one of our Smite drinking games rules should be for Extra Life. So write in. You can also do so on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere that we are. Just let us know what you want our drinking game to consist of. Again, that's for Smite, for Extra Life. If you want to support us, extra-life.org/team/TGI will bring you to our team page where you can donate.
Are we picking the best one?
I think we're just going to go random. I think anyone who sends in a suggestion for a rule will throw you in a random draw because, you know, I don't want to discriminate. I want the numbers to choose. I want the math to decide.
Every time Jocelyn has a kill stolen. Oh, yeah, you'll know when that happens. Because she'll scream.
Ragey.
Bloody
ragey. It was bad last night. Oh, okay, so the email is info, I-N-F-O, at gamersinpodcast.com. And Ryan tried to do that, and it got deleted.
Tried so hard.
I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. We've run overtime again.
But
if you want to show your TGI pride, you can head over to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as your favorite podcasts, like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream,
Zombies Ate My Comcast is what you were going to say.
And The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. That does it for us. Oh, no, wait, we have an email. Oh.
It's a long one.
It is a long one. Okay.
It's really good, though.
So so I should go ahead and read it then?
Well, we can save it for next week if you want.
I think we're gonna save it for next week, because this week actually we're 20 minutes long this week already. So we will save Drakenmensch's email for next week. Thank you very much for not having a name like Jim.
We have enough Jims. We needed more Drakenmensch's.
That's very true. We would like to thank our patron this week. We have, is it Niles Madsen? Niles Madsen, thank you so much for being a patron of the Gamers Inn. If you would like to be a patron of the Gamers Inn, you can do so at patreon.com/thegamersinn, right? Not TGI?
No, it's / the Gamers Inn.
Okay, good. Oh, man, I'm so out of practice. This is ridiculous. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt, whenever I actually go ahead and upload.
We'll get there.
I'll get there eventually. I think I'm like 12 episodes behind now, guys. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's all good. Shit happens. Yeah.
You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show for your chance to win a copy of The Wolf Among Us, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Don't watch the 50 Shades of Grey.
Save yourselves.
No, don't read it either.
Yeah, no.
Definitely don't listen to the audiobook.
If you're going to read it, don't tell your coworkers that you read it, because it's creepy.
And, well, do they, like, describe certain scenes to you?
No, but just the fact that they're like, I'm going to go off on my lunch break and read 50 Shades of Grey. You're like, oh, what are you doing on lunch?
Well, hopefully Telltale doesn't pick it up for their next episodic game.
Would you like to choose the whip or the handcuffs?
Oh, I wasn't talking about the choosing. There's going to be a lot of mashing of A and then slamming on the X button.
Mash all the buttons.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.